Lynn County Healthcare Coalition had an exercise in Slater, and their exercise was the full-scale evacuation of patients from Big Bean Retreat to an alternate care site. And an alternate care site is a facility that we set up that we can take patients to and hold them probably no more than 12, 24 hours. But like if our scenario was that we'd had straight line winds, we had golf ball size hail, and part of the roof was missing, wind was blown out, water inside the facility, and we had to move 13 patients. So you just can't take those 13 and start taking them everywhere. You take them to the alternate care site, you do triage, provide first aid, immediate care for them, and from there you can call an air vac, whatever hospital is available to receive them and whatever long-term care, but you hold them in this alternate care site until we can get them moved on out into the appropriate facilities. The exercise was extremely successful. We had 22 participating entities and we had over 62 exercise participants. And the range from the participants, we had long-term care facilities, we had Red Cross Pharmacy long-term care, we had first responders, we had the School of Nursing, we had home health, we had dialysis. So we have all kinds of members in this. I want to give a kudos to Gene, because Gene Griffith was the first government or city official that had participated in any of our exercises. And this is extremely important to us. I mean, we've got to have these type of entities involved with us. 22 participating entities, 62 exercise participants. There are counties that would die to get that kind of participation. Some of them can't get 5 or 6 entities in it. And part of this kind of goes back to our original planning team, which consists of Tony, Tom Jones, Fitzgibbon Hospital, Police Chief Mike Donnell, and EMS
Sharon.
And Wade Kelling of the Saline County Ambulance. And if it wasn't for this core group and their planning and getting everyone else involved in it, we wouldn't have this type of participation. I mean, this was absolutely phenomenal to have this number of agencies and this number of volunteers. And this was not the first exercise that we evacuated the hospital. Last year we evacuated the Living Center. We had not done it outside of Marshall, and we wanted to do it in Slater, and next year we're planning or hoping that we can get it done in Sweet Springs. So the reason we do this is we want to test our plans. We want to see that the plans that we have written actually work. But the big advantage for us is that by working together, we learn each other's capabilities. We learn different equipment storages that other people had. One of the things that we learned last year was Larry Ferris advised us that we could get a U-Haul truck. If we have an emergency and we need a U-Haul truck, they donate one to us. And so last year we had a U-Haul truck, and this year we had a U-Haul truck to do the exercise with. We took the U-Haul truck over, we loaded all the patient files on it, we loaded their med carts on it, and if worse came to worse, we could actually move patients in the back of a U-Haul truck. That's not our preferred method, but in Joplin and in Las Vegas, they were hauling them in the back of pickup trucks. I mean, mm-hmm. a large majority of people were hauled in vans and pickup trucks by citizens. Yeah. So what went well? Number one was the number of entities and participation of the community. And anytime you can get this number of people together and complete an exercise such as this,
as smoothly as it went,
it's fantastic. I'd like to compliment Big Bend Retreat. They did an awesome job. Emily Hahn and her staff, they were just top flight. They kept track of the patients. During Joplin, they put out a call, send all the help you can get. we had responders coming from Kansas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Missouri. And the next day, we had patients in Oklahoma, Arkansas, Kansas, and Missouri, and
didn't know where they were at.
They didn't know where they were. So it's quite a task to keep track of these patients, and they did an awesome job.
Yeah, U-Haul is important.
Yeah. What we need to work on, we always have something that we need to work on, and communication has always been and probably always will be a problem for us. What we need to do is we need to designate and we need to have available a radio channel or radio channels that we can use that have repeaters that we can get to. I mean, yeah, we picked a TAC channel and we were all standing out in the parking lot and they worked well. But once we got about 3 blocks away or past line of sight, we couldn't communicate. So what we need to do is to get a radio channel that we can use that has repeaters that are available. And the other problem that we need to stop and look at is that if we're going to be using, like in the city, we use the PD frequency because they're 100 watt, and that's the most powerful radio that we've got in Marshall.
In the county, I think.
Yeah, in the county. So, I mean, it's one thing to hand out radios and everything, and I mean, we could give radio to you guys, but you have to have permission to use that channel. I mean, Mike has that, like the hospital has his frequency. They have to have, we call them MOUs, memos of understanding, but it's a written agreement that they're authorized in an emergency or an emergency situation to use those frequencies. So we need to get these MOUs in place, and we need to designate these channels that would be available to us. Because what we do is if we have an exercise or a disaster, the disaster goes, like if we had a disaster here in Marshall, everybody responding to the disaster goes on the PD frequency, and then all the other transmission goes to E911 so that we don't bog down E911 with all the transmissions of the responders. So we need to work on that. The other thing was that they need to designate one person on a med card. We had a med card there, we had 13 patients, we had 13 people given medications, and that's not most ideal situation. So we learned that we would designate one person available for the med card and they'd be responsible for it. The other thing that came was in the confusion and in the chaos and people with dementia, Alzheimer's and stuff, if it's possible, we're going to try to have one-on-one. And that means that there's a one person to one patient. If we have enough responding personnel, we would like to have a one-on-one. And this is where people that have had CPR and first aid, they can set with a patient that's not critical. And because if they pass out, you can advise us they pass out. Or if they start having difficulty breathing, you can advise us. So, I mean, it doesn't have to exactly be a nurse or someone. If you've had first aid, if you've had CPR, you can set with a patient that's not critical. The other thing was that when we set it up, there's two doors at the youth center, and we assumed they were coming in the front door. Well, they came in the back door, so we had the cot set up at the back, and that caused too much confusion. So there's some things that we can learn from that we need to designate initially where they're coming in and such as that. So our goal for this exercise was to enhance collaboration in Saline County and strengthen our ability to respond to an emergency. And we did that. I mean, we've improved our ability to respond to something like this because we've done it, we've exercised it, we've worked with each other, we know each other. And, you know, this can happen. Within the last month at the Lexington, the hospital, they had a gas leak and they had to evacuate all the patients out of the hospital. And they moved them to an alternate care site at the Baptist Church, which is exactly what we practice. So these things, you know, we hope that they never happen, but it can happen. Right. And so we've trained, we know what equipment we've got available, we know how to get to that equipment, and it was extremely successful.
Great.
I got just a couple things to add to that. One, we probably ought to thank the participants that were victims.
Yes, the School of Nursing, we couldn't have done it without their help. They were our victims, and we gave them a placard, and they played their roles to the fullest extent. They were moaning, they were groaning, we had them walking away. There were a couple, three that deserved Emmys, and we kind of pointed them out when it was over. And you know, the Missouri Valley School of Nursing and our vocational, the license, the LPN, whatever it is, if we had something, these people would be tremendous resources for us. The juniors and seniors we could use to set with patients or to help us with patients. So they've been active participants in our exercises before, and we'll continue to plan and work with them because they're tremendous resources.
Speaking of up in Lexington, Russ and I work with the counties around us.
Right.
We've actually been up there and helped them with exercises. So if they need us, we've worked with them also. And if it gets bad, they will come help us.
Right.
We have contacts all around the region. If something major happens, we will have help to do that. So
we align the health department. We align with, we're called the Quad Squad. Yeah. For those of you who remember that funny line from the Mod Squad, but anyway. The kids here.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but go ahead.
So it's Carol, Celine, Ray, and Lafayette. We've trained together, we work together, and we, the planners for the health department, we even write our plans together. So that, I mean, there's no reason reinventing the wheel, and there's no reason to write four different sets of plans. If it works, it works. We have to make some minor changes in it, but that way, if we get called to Lafayette County, or if we get called to Ray County or whatever, our plans are the same.
And we know each other.
Yep, and we know each other. We work with each other.
Right.
So.
And I'm going to steal something else from you, that your yo-yo thing.
Okay.
Okay, your yo-yos, you're on your own. And Russ stole it from somebody else, and I stole it from him. But anyway, the receiving center we were talking about, where you bring the patients, if something like this happened, if this was a result of a storm, a bad storm, and on your own, you may be on your own for 3 days to a week. And if we have something like this, we had to evacuate the patients to this place, that's because we have to get them out of the disaster zone to someplace safe. And we may not see an ambulance for 3 days. So they may have to be there for that long a time. That's another reason we need volunteers that are certified to help. People, you can't have a nurse up 3 days in a row. You have to have people for night, different shifts and all things like that. So we need as many volunteers as we could get. But they have to be vetted with someone so they can do that. If not, we're gonna have nurses that are very upset. And you don't want an upset.
So you talk about an alternate site.
Yeah, right. Well, you can't all house, right. If you had, like they had, we had a disaster there. Part of the roof was missing, it was flooding, and because of straight line winds can cover 30 mile wide.
You've got
a major disaster. We can't treat them there. We have to get them away from the scene so they're safe. So we take them to an alternate site. We have try to have nurses there as we can until we can get them transported someplace else.
Well, this one particular church I'm thinking about, if it's not in the disaster zone, it doesn't have steps. Yeah. That'd be the Covenant Presbyterian Church.
That's part
the
of
old people pray.
Right. Well, that's the things we're looking at. We try to pick a place that has a generator and things like
but
that.
Yeah,
that powers out.
But it might be in the zone, but right. I was thinking it'd be tough.
A lot of those things
without steps.
Spur of the moment, depends on where it's at. Rest of we look around, okay, where can we go? Mm-hmm. We go from there. That's what we
A first site would be the YMCA. Yeah. Second place would probably be the
county.
The Saline County Fairgrounds.
Right.
And then the Methodist Church Youth Center.
Yep.
Also.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So
we had alternate things. And
it doesn't
have any steps either.
Right.
Right.
We're working on.
Yeah.
The way we planned it.
Working on plans for Slater and Sweet Springs. You know, it's a lot of this hasn't been done before. We're kind of breaking the ground with all of this, and we're moving forward slowly. But the main thing, both of us, we can't have enough volunteers. I really, really stress that we need help.
And the CERT class starts in October.
And Emergency Medical Corps too.
Yeah,
you know, they're already trained. They already have a group that does search and rescue and so many other things that you'd be taught in these classes. So. If anybody's interested, please help us out.
Great. Thank you all very much.
All right.
Thank you.
And the other thing is that you guys have invested in your emergency management agency, which is Sharon and Tony, and some of the counties that don't have that. And it's a step up.
I know.
You guys, I mean, every penny you spend with that is well worth it. Well worth it.
Very good.